Podmoth.
Hello! And welcome to BSP Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we're an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast and proud members of the Podmoth Network. And this is a minisode.
Yeah. So for those of you who are new, nice. A minisode is we do that in the interim weeks between full episodes. And we do one paranormal story a piece to tease the upcoming topic to see if you can actually guess the full topic next week. So it's kind of a little game that we like to play. This one, we were talking about it before.
Uh-huh.
If you just Google either one of the names of ours, I think.
That is, if you can spell
it. If you can spell it, you'll find it. But if you just listen to the stories alone.
It's probably going to be hard, unless you're familiar with what it is.
Oh, there you go. That's true. That's true. That is very true.
And if I sound a little bit out of sorts, I've had quite the day. I know I talked about this before, but I
was in a sling at the bathhouse for hours.
After months, I finally ran my half marathon this morning.
So that's just code word. No.
I've been up since 5:30, basically, and then I ran 13 miles, and I did pretty decent for my first time.
So. Oh, he kicked its ass.
Yeah. So, but I made it, I'm alive, and it was exhilarating. It's fucking amazing.
That's awesome. The second I walked into his place just now, I was like, how tired are you?
Yeah. So I'll sleep good tonight, but anyhow. Yeah.
And then he shared the non-alcoholic Heineken beer that he got as a gift.
Yeah.
And this shit is good. Yeah. Not just drink this. So anyway, yeah, this one, it's going to be interesting to see the stories, or they're going to be weird and fun.
Should I go first? I haven't gone first in a while.
Go first. Do it. He's also wearing his flaming hat, which I guess because it's Chris, we should just call it a hat.
Whatever.
Because the flaming is a given.
Rock and roll marathon hat.
Yeah.
Anyways. So today I am talking about a strange creature that is known by a few different names. It is called Nokken in some places, as well as
Nokken,
Nokken, or Nokken in other places.
Nokken.
But we'll call him Nokken here.
Okay.
So, the creature is said to be a male malevolent spirit that lives in fresh water, such as ponds or lakes, but specifically in fresh water that is dark and murky that you wouldn't really be able to see into.
Oh, I bet this is going to go real well for any visitors to the murky water.
Yeah.
Don't come a knocking.
Come and knock on my door.
Come knock on my back door.
Oh, God. It is said that Nokken are very...
Come and knock on my door. That was good. Sorry.
It is said that Nokken are very protective of water lilies.
Oh.
The Nokken grow water lilies, much like humans garden roses or other flowers.
Oh, well, that's cool.
And if anyone were to pick the water lilies from the Nokken's garden, it is said that the person would meet a terrible fate.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, well, that's kind of cute, actually. I know some plant people today that would just do that if you mess with their plants.
That's true.
So
there has been a lot of confusion as to whether the Nokken is a singular creature or if there are more than one. Some believe that the creature travels from one body of water to another, while others believe that individual Nokken are attached to their specific body of water.
Huh. You know? So if they travel from one to another, that means they can get on land and walk across land?
I don't know. I didn't see how they ask how they travel or find out.
We need to know.
Or I mean, if they could go underwater.
What? What? Okay. I guess if the bodies of water are connected.
A channel or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Nokken are said to be supernaturally talented and that they can play the violin and, in some legends, other stringed instruments. With their talent, it is said that they're able to entrance people through their music. Nokken are said to be able to be a sort of shapeshifter, much like the water that they inhabit.
Oh, okay.
Nokken can supposedly transform into anything, but in describing the creature, there are four forms that they are mostly known for. An unnatural-looking wooden log that moves in the water. Yeah.
It's log. log.
Yeah, that was the funniest one. A good-looking man with long hair.
Okay.
A pristine white horse and a twig-covered monster.
Wait. A white horse just in the water?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is the last form, the twig-covered monster, that is said to be Nokken's true form.
Okay.
When Nokken appear as a white horse, they are usually described as supernaturally beautiful with a flowing white mane, shiny fur, usually appearing in moonlight.
So it's Artex? really a knock-in?
Yeah, from
from Neverending Story.
Yeah, that's what I thought of too.
Huh.
People who see the white horse are usually so enamored by their beauty, but that they are drawn to ride the creature. It is then when Knockin will run into the fresh water with a person on its back, eventually drowning him.
Okay, okay, so it's on land.
Yeah.
Okay, so it could run to bodies of water too.
At least in, as a horse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to understand the Knockin.
Are you though?
I don't know. It's weird.
If.
Yay. We don't edit these, by the way, so you get to hear all of our little mistakes.
And then when the creature appears in the human man form, he is usually seen naked. Again, much like the horse, the man draws people in with his beauty and music. When seen in its monster form, he is said to have a messy mane that is either made of plants or a mass of messy hair tangled with twigs and leaves. In this monster form, Knockin is said to have glowing yellow or lime-colored eyes,
huh,
really sharp teeth, and sometimes an unkempt beard. As can probably be concluded, the Knockin seems to enjoy drowning humans. And as I said before, he will lure people in with his music once they get close. And once they get close enough, Knockin will grab them by their ankles and drag them into the water. In centuries past, unexplained disappearances around water and drownings were often blamed on Knockin. Although Knockin is malevolent, he also can be somewhat of a drama queen. Knockin will cry and or scream from the waters he inhabits, supposedly because the creature is unable to accept his fate as a monster that will never enter heaven or be loved.
Aww.
Some Knockin are said to be possibly to be a little psychic, as they are able to sense when someone will drown or hurt themselves. When this happens, Knockin are said to cry into the night. Some say as a warning, others say as a trap to bring in curious people. So
I wonder what their cry sounds like. Oh, it's like a little baby's, like.
Oh, that sounds nothing like a baby. Despite all its nastiness, Knockin can be bribed. If you give Knockin blood from a prick from your finger, sacrifice a black animal and give it to him, or give him some expensive alcohol, he will be willing to teach you how to play the violin.
Sacrifice a black animal?
Like a black colored animal, like a black chicken.
So racist.
Yeah. Well, like, think like dark sacrifices, you know?
That's true. I guess like a black cat or something. Exactly. That's considered. Wow. So he'll teach you?
To play the violin, yeah. Huh. And then legend states that if you leave your violin by whatever body of water that they inhabit next to your offering, the violin will be tuned so perfectly that it'll always carry a beautiful tune.
Cool.
Knockin are said to be part of the troll family, which can potentially be discerned by his weakness, which is also the troll's weakness. And this weakness is steel.
Really?
Yeah. So to protect yourself from the creature, you would throw some steel into the body of water it is in.
Oh, well, that's like you wear steel? And I'm like, you're supposed to wear steel in water? You just sink to the bottom and drown anyway?
Any piece of steel is effective, but it is believed that a steel cross is more so.
Ah.
One other way to protect yourself is that if you are grabbed by Knockin, just say his name out loud because it is said that he becomes surprised that anyone knows his name. And then we'll let go of the person. Many people used to believe in this creature, but it was said, or is said, after the 19th century, this belief declined a lot. And instead, Knockin were used as a scare tactic. Stories of Knockin would be told to scare kids into behaving, or back in the day when people weren't as good at swimming, if they could swim at all, parents would tell stories of the Knockin to scare children off from bodies of water.
Sure.
Like La Llorona.
Cautionary tales. Yeah, La Llorona. Yeah.
Yeah. And there you have it. A little about the creature known as Knockin.
That is super cool. Yeah. What I find interesting is, and I can say like this, that the subject we're doing is not Christian. That the fact that a steel cross has a difference, or is more effective. I think that's kind of like, huh.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I am officially scared of the Knockin. And I want to hear him
come
cry.
A knockin'.
And I want to say his name now. Like, Steve.
Steve.
Steve the Knockin. All right. So for my story, I'm going to be talking about Huldra, or seductive forest beings. Okay. Yeah. The Huldra or Holder may sound rugged and masculine, but they are actually exceptionally fair female mystical beings in mythology. Uh-huh. In fact, there are varying myths and legends all across Nordic, Swedish, Germanic, Norwegian people. So like there's a whole region. The Huldra can be credited, though, as the origin of many subsequent mythological creatures, uh-huh. such as elves and witches, which I thought was really cool. Like this is actually kind of an origin story for witches. Now, the Huldra are beautiful and seductive forest beings. Okay. Their name generally translates as covered or secret, likely because the Huldra usually try to hide their mystical nature from people. And there's more coming on that later. Now, there were tons of origin stories, but there was one that I actually found that was pretty interesting. So, and it's this. Once Christianity was adopted across Germany and Scandinavia, a new origin myth was created for the Huldra. According to it, God once visited a woman's cottage, but she only had time to wash half of her children in preparation. So she has all these chitlins, and she's running around like, gotta get cleaned up for God, gotta get cleaned up for God.
Oh, well, that's hilarious.
Ashamed, she tried to hide her unwashed kids. So she's like, y'all go stand in the back, right?
Yeah.
But God saw them and decreed that they be hidden from humanity, so they became Huldra. And I'm like, God, that's so mean.
Oh, wow.
I know, like, be nicer. Are you looking up something?
No.
Are you not? Oh, okay. Okay. He was like all tapping around. But yeah. So as far as their appearance goes, the Huldra are stunningly fair blonde women who wander the forests around human settlements. Tall, slender, with long golden hair and a crown made of flowers, the Huldra often appear in front of lonely young men or even boys, and they try to seduce them.
Of course.
More on that later. There are a couple of distinctive features about Huldra that really set them apart from beautiful human women. One, they have a cow's tail.
Okay.
Yeah, and it often sticks out from their dresses or robes. Now, the Huldra try to hide their tails when they are performing their seductions, but in most myths, the young men are given the chance to notice and react to the tail. And it's super important. There's a reason for this. It's really cool.
They like shake their tail in their face.
Moo. They kind of do. And I like, of course, like all these myths and stuff we've talked about a million times, this is kind of a cautionary tale in a way, but it's a different one. The moral is different.
Okay.
How about that? Not cautionary, but a morality tale. And I like it.
Yeah.
Second, their backs are covered in tree bark, and they can look like a hollowed out tree trunk from behind.
That's weird.
So like, ew. So they seduce men and are considered a form of succubus, which we've talked about. Go listen to that episode.
Yep.
But can you imagine her seducing you and you have sex with her and you're doing her doggy style from behind? It basically looks like you're having sex with a hollowed out tree trunk.
Yeah.
With a cow tail.
That is so bizarre.
So it's like, oh, this is so hot.
Ew.
But I digress. Now, the descriptions are indicative of, oh my God, what is this word I wrote? Oh, God, I wrote a word that I don't know what it is.
Oh.
But basically, the description indicates that this is a being that belongs partly to nature and partly to humanity. And so it's this mix of human and nature.
Like a nature spirit or like a sprite or a fairy. Like they kind of see them like that.
Too. And it's like they call it an anthropomorphic personification of the power of the forest realm. And this word I have, liminality? Is that a word? I don't know. People tell me if that's a word or if I just made that up. But anyway, what does she do? So the Huldra are always portrayed as seductresses. Oh my God.
Seductresses.
Seductresses. Oh, fuck. But their exact goals and behavior can vary. So there are good encounters. So like good touch, bad touch.
Yeah.
In some legends, they would simply appear in front of the unsuspecting man or boy without trying to actively seduce them. If the human proved to be courteous, even after noticing the Huldra's tail, she would often award him with good fortune or useful advice.
Okay.
There's actually one story in which one appeared in front of a young boy who was fishing in a lake. She dazzled the boy with her beauty to the point of him losing his breath, but he eventually saw the tail sticking from her robe. Moo. The boy was taught to be polite, however, and all he said was, "M'lady, I see that your petticoat shows below your skirt." And she quickly hit it, and as a reward for the courtesy, she told him to try fishing on the other side of the lake. The boy followed her advice and started catching fish with every throw. Does that not sound familiar to a certain Christian tale, though, about casting your line on the other side of the boat?
No.
Oh, it's a whole thing with Jesus where they weren't catching any fish, and he's like, try throwing out the...
Oh, I didn't know that.
The gnarled, snarboard side, larboard, whatever side, Ebert side.
I don't know that.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, it's like a really famous like miracle. And I wonder, like, it's interesting, the crossover. Now, there were also fatal encounters.
Well, you talked about earlier, like, the Christianity coming into these areas.
Oh, yeah, right? With the cross, yeah.
So, well, no, even in this story, you said something, mentioned something about
The origin story, yeah. So there's definitely some crossover. So fatal encounters, not all Holdra stories unfold so fortunately. In many myths, the wild women seduce unmarried men and lead them into the mountains. They sometimes played on harps or sang to lure the easily tempted men. Once in the mountains or deep in the forest, lots of physical pleasures typically followed. You got to the beast with tree backs. And then the Holdra would ask the man to marry her and wouldn't let him go until he agreed. Once the man agreed and the two got married, the Holdra would turn into a hideous woman and would gain the strength of 10 men, and she'd also lose her tail. And then she would usually then at that point, because she kind of got what she wanted, all the strength and lost her tail, then she would just kill him. But, so then the
other
option...
She's like a praying mantis.
Right, isn't she? But if she asks him to marry her and he doesn't, then she just kills him anyway.
So
you're fucked either way.
Yeah, you're going to die no matter what.
Yeah, but at least in one way, I guess you're going to have some doobers. So I don't know. In many other stories, there would be no proposal at all, but the Holdra would instead would basically force the man to dance with her until he literally dropped dead. So it's kind of like a valley girl at a rave party. So how to protect yourself? Number one, this is made up for me. Be gay, because then you're not tempted by this, right? Number two, if you're an inferior straight person, the only way to protect yourself from falling into the grasp of a Holdra is either to ignore her, but more importantly, to be polite. So the moral of the story is actually
easy. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. It's treat women with kindness. Mm-hmm. And I like that. This is a cautionary tale of, or morality tale of, be nice to women.
Yeah.
And that's one that I think is nice, because instead of being like, don't go to the water or you're going to die, it's be kind to women or
you're going to die.
Yeah, you're going to die. And that is the story of the Holdra.
That's an interesting creature.
It is soups ints. It's V-int.
Anywho.
Well, that is all we have.
Yes.
See if anybody has any guesses.
See what you guess. Let us know what you guess. I mean.
Yeah, it'll be good. And with that, everyone tune in next week to see if your guesses are correct. And bye.
O'Connor Orchid Estates Apartments. Located in the center of the small town of Reading, Ohio, it is widely regarded as the world's most haunted location. Join world-renowned paranormal investigators Abigail Reynolds and Michael Colby as they immerse themselves into every aspect of life in this building and expose the truth of its horrific history. Join us for My Creepy Haunted Life.
Jack Billings presents Haunted Apartment Complex, starring me. Jack Billings, obviously.
Damn it. How did you even get in here, Jack?
Well, let's get spooky, crew.